Okay. There we go. Okay. But we have been worshiping the Lord this morning and ascribing glory and honor to Him. And this trip that I just took in May was most definitely a God thing. Those of you who heard me do my presentation on my February trip may remember that I have a Facebook granddaughter in India, and she got engaged while I was teaching in February, right after I had left there, and we were so excited. We've been praying for a husband for her. But they got a hold of me. Just a second. Let me go ahead and give you a slide here to look at. Go ahead, slide. Oh, there we go. Okay. We had been praying for her to have a husband. And then, of course, when she got engaged to him, for those of you who don't know, I teach at North India Baptist Seminary in Dehradun, India, in the top just north of Delhi. And this concerns, though, two ends of Delhi. And this was a very unusual, very different trip to India for me. It was my sixth trip, my fourth trip up to teach at the seminary, but it impacted me like no trip I've ever done in my life. And it is still impacting me. In any event, they invited me to the wedding. Here is the engagement picture. There we go. There is Angel and now her husband, David. Fine young man, both of them in ministry, children's ministry, loving the Lord. Sweet young lady. She's 26 now and he's 32. But we were so excited to see that happen. But everybody wanted me to come to the wedding. Grandpa, please come to wedding. Please come. And I told him I can't. I'm not scheduled to teach. I don't have the money for a private trip. And my superiors in the mission are certainly not going to let me make a fourth trip in 11 months to go back to India. I won't say unfortunately. They cheated. They prayed. And it was the day after I had to say no for the last time to Angel's brother that the director, the president of the seminary, texted me and said, we lost a teacher in May. I badly need you here. We'll pay all your expenses. Will you come? Wow. Only God puts those things together. And so my bosses said we're not going to have a great deal of heartburn about this. We sort of recognized the Lord's hand in it. I got to go to India. But here is the engagement picture. This shows David and his parents are on the inside next to them, her parents on the outside. Wonderful people. I had not met him or his family at this time. This is going to get very personal, and I won't apologize for that. About 6 weeks after they announced the engagement, about 6 weeks before I headed to India, she died. His mother, Palm Sunday morning, just shattered both families terribly. And then it was, Grandpa, not just come, we need you to stay. Grandpa, we need you to minister here. And his dad especially wanted a pastor there with him. And so I changed my ticket, got that done, and headed off to India. And just devastated them. And of course, over there, with no embalming, they have to bury them right away. They're barely over the shock of her dying, and she's in the ground. Just didn't mean to include that stark picture. That this is what I was walking into at that time. So I flew, hopped on the plane, and they had booked me for a 14-hour and 10-minute flight from Seattle nonstop to Dubai and the United Arab Emirates, and another 3.5 hours to Delhi. And that was my seat next to the fat guy. Let's just say well-built guy. And so I discovered, though, to my everlasting gratitude, that by leaning my seat a little further back than his, I could get in underneath his arm, and I wasn't crushed against the window. So, you know, all was not horror and terror here. This was a mixed blessing thing. So anyway, I landed in Delhi, flew to Dehradun. This is where the seminary is located, up in the foothills of the Himalayas. Beautiful, beautiful country there. Just going to show you some pictures here. This, of course, is the grounds. You've seen this where we were teaching. We have a brand new building now that I've not seen, but it's down in the city, and the building looks wonderful, but I'm going to miss the village. These are some of my students and some of my prospective students right here. The pastors whom I train bring their wives with them, and they also take the courses, and they bring their little kids with them as well, and we just love it. It just makes for a wonderful, wholesome family situation. More of my students She calls me Papa, okay, and I have others calling me Grandpa, and they are neat, neat people, just wonderful, wonderful people, and they are pastors. They're all in the ministry, and I'm involved, along with a number of other people, in training them to do ministry. I just love it there. The Lord opened that door wonderfully. Did have opportunities to preach. Here I am at Maranatha Baptist Church number 1, and just this is my third time preaching there. Just love those people. It's a wonderful opportunity to minister. This is Maranatha Baptist Church number 2, which I hadn't been to, and this is kind of out in the open patio there, and just that first time there, it was a real blessed time. I had gone there thinking, I'm going to speak on heaven this morning, and I got up in front of all of those kids and young people, and I thought, heaven isn't really going to fly this morning. They're not looking forward to getting out of the agony of this life yet. And so I preached on Psalm 1 instead, and I think it was a beautiful ministry there, but I just loved these people and ministering to them. And I don't minister to large crowds. My class is maybe 15 to 20 people. I have church services of 15 to 20 people. I love it. I love the interpersonal interaction there. There are, however, getting to that church and getting back to your cars, some traffic problems. There's more than just cars that inhabit the streets. In fact, they had to move the car so I could get into it. The pigs weren't budging. So definitely not a Muslim part of town, I tell you. I taught on the Gospel of Mark that week, and I've given many sermons over the years on the Gospel of Mark, but I've never taught all the way through it. And it is really an eye-opener to teach all the way through it in a week's time, and it was wonderful. Now, this is my class at the end of it, most of the class that is there. The fellow sitting next to me is the president of the seminary, and I've been praying for him. His wife has needed a kidney transplant for something like 4 years now. The first time they came up with the kidney for her, she was in India and couldn't get it. She's been 2 years. Finally, she went back to India with him this last week. Mayo Clinic called and said, we have a kidney for you, and she couldn't get it. So twice in a row, that's happened to them. Beautiful class. The little girl here on the right is Salome. When I first met her, I called her Salami, and then I was quickly corrected before her parents discovered the American name for sausage. And she is a kick. We played cricket to everybody's delight. So this is just some street pictures there in Dehradun. Men, young men in India are very hip on getting their hair cut just right. It doesn't matter that it grows back in a week, but that's some of that. These are Tibetan Buddhist prayer flags over here on the way up to the seminary. The school is in a Tibetan enclave. When Tibet fell to the Chinese in the 1950s, essentially the government, the people moved to Dehradun in that area. So lots of Tibetans where we were. Just some scenic pictures. I call this pigs meet goats. The two flocks were going in opposite directions, and I couldn't decide which I wanted to show more of, the pigs or the goats. But just very definitely that street life, and that's typical garbage that you see anywhere in India now. I always had my favorite cafe that I go to for coffee. This being summer, they gave me ice cream coffee. So just loved it. And this is owned by believers in the Lord. Just very, very grateful for that. This is transportation in India, some of these next slides. I don't know what he's going to put in those those cages, maybe chickens, maybe whatnot. But the one on the life, the one on your right is a sidewalk store. Any place he sees there might be people who might buy some of his product, he pulls his motorcycle in. There he is. We're all set up for sale. And people will come over and buy things off of him. Great way to be a mobile person. I always like to throw in a few traffic pictures. And so there's a family on a motorcycle. Aren't you glad he's wearing a helmet? The driver is required in the Delhi area to wear a helmet.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but everybody else, there they are. I thought I would throw in another picture. I just love this one. I didn't take these pictures here, but there's before marriage and after marriage. And that is not untypical. You will see people driving on motorcycles, standing on them with a door sideways in front of them on a motor scooter, and they're driving down the road like this, and people are staying well clear of them. So that is India for you. This is just one picture. Excuse me, I tossed in. Just some of the sidewalk displays. And this is back in Delhi now, I believe. This was in the village of Derridoon. A couple of guys out there just hammering on their little brass plates, get tongue-tied here, making beautiful artwork. I didn't buy anything that day, but I intend to if I get back up there. Tibetan lady, she paused and let me take a picture of her. I took it so quick, I took the top off of her head there, but you will see all kinds of traditional dress in the same village area. And then, of course, India being India, they have their own deities. Why someone would fall down and worship this thing, I have no idea. But that is a typical gaudy thing, and they will, gaudy thing, yes. And you will find children's candy with these painted gods on them to introduce children early on and make them feel that these are warm, lovable things they need to like and worship and love. Most of the children ones are not so fierce looking as this one. This is a northern India Hindu temple. In the south, they carve the statues of the gods there, and you may have seen this one. This is Shiva in his role as god or goddess of the dance. He's an androgynous character, but either male or female, depending on how you're worshiping him at a given time. Just bizarre. Anyway, I taught there for that week. The next week was the wedding, and I flew down to that. Vanakkam means hello in Tamil. And we're way down in South India now. It's about a 3.5-hour flight down to the south. Think Central Canada, Northern Mexico, that difference between the two. And I've just got a couple of slides here. I didn't get up into the mountains for the children's ministry this time, but this picture was taken after the Vacation Bible School. This is up in a mountain range, 42 Hindu villages. They had never heard of Christ before. My friends opened up a ministry in there. They are leading children to Christ. I'm praying they will plant a church and a clinic up there. But now it's all over. These little kids are going back to their village 7 miles away. They walked to be there. And most of them are barefoot. This is snake and elephant country and all of that. And they start young. They've got little food packages, and so they're putting them on top of their heads to learn to carry them up there. So it's just kind of interesting. You've seen this picture before, but this is granddaughter's church. Oh, thank you so much. I just showed this for the contrast between the different churches. They didn't have chairs here, and nobody is allowed to wear shoes, so I always preach barefoot in India now. But just a wonderful time with them. Any event, I landed. Put that right there. I left Derridoon. I flew down south now for the wedding. I was picked up at the airport by Angel's brother-in-law, Manasseh, and behind him is Angel's brother, Sam, and the other three guys I didn't know at all, but every one of them were calling me Grandpa. And so I said, yay, I like being Grandpa. Now, I have to say, remember, there has been a tragedy in the family, and yet there is great joy with the wedding, and the two mingle together. In India, they are a very, very conservative society. If a woman comes up to you, you know her, you can reach out and shake her hand. If you don't know her, you wait. If she extends your hand, then you can shake it. Otherwise, you don't. You just greet her. Public displays of affection in India, by and large, are no-no. I got out of the car at Angel's house. Her mother walked across the yard, put her arms around me, and gave me a hug. I was family. I was pastor, and I was there, and I was needed. Wow. It floored me. You just don't see that happen there. And that was of the Lord. Here's the wedding in his village, 7 hours away, Kolapalayam. I just love pronouncing the Indian main names, but I have to practice them for a few hours before I can roll them off my tongue. Outdoor wedding under the palm thatched area there, and a lot of people showed up for it. I was one of 9 pastors that participated. I was able to give the message, and I did the blessing on them at the end. She stayed veiled through the whole time. In India, if a woman is wearing a wedding ring, it's a sign of slavery, essentially. Typically, the Hindus will exchange rings, and that ring on the woman's finger means now you are mine, period, to do as I say for the rest of your life. Christians are beginning to exchange Bibles instead of rings. And so here they are exchanging golden Bibles between the two of them. Now, I was thoroughly blessed to be a part of the wedding. Every time I turned around, they were honoring me one way or another, and I just didn't think I deserved it at all. But here is a picture after the wedding. They had changed clothes. They had a wedding couch there. And as people and family were gathering, I stood over on the edge, and Angel came to me. She said, no, Grandpa. And she pulled me up, and I'm sitting in the middle of them between the wedding couch. That just floored me. And you notice there are two different photographers. We're all looking in different directions. I should have coordinated with the people I was sitting with, David and Angel. But anyway, it was an incredible time. And then, of course, they had the reception in her town, 7 hours away. They got married. After the reception, we drove 7 hours her town to go have the reception over there, and then 7 hours back. But there they are on the wedding couch, and I just have to share this because this just it just flabbergasted me. I was up on they had rented a wedding hall, and there was a platform, and they were seated on the couch. I was seated just to Angel's side there, her left side, and the pastor who was doing the little ceremony was over to the right, and they brought the cake out, just one big flat sheet cake, the wedding cake. They didn't have this at the wedding itself. This was for all the people who couldn't come to the wedding. And they had the three of us come forward, and then it just floored me. He had us all three put our hands on the knife and cut it. Angel took a piece of cake and fed me. Then gave it to me, and I fed her, my eyes bulging wide open. And then she took another piece and fed her husband, and he fed her. Yeah, she got more cake. She got to eat it twice. Yes, good observation. And I asked them afterwards, whose idea was this? And she said, we all thought of it. It was the pastor that said we're going to do it. And then they told me it was a tradition there that the fathers share in the wedding cake, eating of the wedding cake. Because I was there, though, they honored me to do it. I've never been so honored in all of my life. I couldn't wipe the grin off my face for the whole rest of the night through 4 hours of gift-giving and whatnot and all. Anyway, also had the opportunity to preach in their little church upstairs. They're building this on top of the house. Building codes don't matter much in India. They're putting bricks on as they can afford them, and so far they just have roof, you know, thatching on top of the roof. So when it rains, they move downstairs for church. We've had some wonderful times. I stayed that extra week to minister to them. Here we are after Angel has just made tandoori chicken, and which was delicious. And, of course, Dan, there's no forks there. We're all eating with our fingers and whatnot. This is all of her family now. Everybody else has gone home. We're back in Kolapalayam. And I do have to tell you in this, and I hate to drag this out, but I said this was a very personal time. Confession is good for the soul. I had a serious emotional breakdown in February. In an instant, as I was typing something on a text, I fell apart. And I was that way for about 3.5 weeks, crying, couldn't stop, immense depression, panic attacks. My doctor was helping me. People were praying for me. I was trying to work through it. I was still fragile when I went to India, emotionally fragile. And so here I am, and I'm past it now, thank the Lord. But and Jim had been warning me it was going to happen. So there was just too much going on. I was juggling too much. But anyway, I was still kind of fragile. I went to India. I'm down with them now. The wedding's over. That week that I was going to stay extra, I was there to minister to them. Because remember, they have just lost mom. Out of their mom, mother-in-law, you know, wife. Everybody there is grieving. This is their family. And Angel had gotten to meet her future mother-in-law before she died. And so I'm there to minister to them, and I was having some serious emotional problems too. I've been away from my wife for 3 weeks now, for the fourth month in a year, struggling with all this, and they wound up ministering to me almost as much as I was ministering to them, and that helped both of us because I was vulnerable. I was right there with them, and we were all of them just ministering to one another. And so we spent that last week just getting out to keep them, the rest of the family, from getting depressed. I had good talks with her father. We really got to know each other. And so we went different places. We watched out for elephants in the road. Elephants definitely have the right-of-way over there. You don't argue with them about it. But we went to dams in different places and tiger refuges and saw lots of different monkeys. When I came home, I took all the pictures of monkeys I'd taken, and I got online and looked up all the monkeys in India and was identifying each one, each different type. I can't tell you the names at the moment. This is a very rare endangered one we were very surprised to be able to see him, and that's the clearest photo I have of him, was him leaping. And we also got to see some other critters while we were there. Fortunately, this one was behind glass, and it was in a crocodile refuge with crocodiles from all over the world. This was, those of you who might remember, here's the Love Boat on the right. We were in a park down below this dam, and, of course, they were there and just having a ball. We had a lot of good trips. This is on top of the dam. We were looking out over. There is, you know, one of their gods. I think that's Shiva again. And it was a bittersweet time, mostly sweet, but also being ministered to and ministering all the way. It was also bittersweet at the parting because I got to the airport to discover that when I changed my flights, I had inadvertently booked my flight back to where I was to leave India for the day before. And so there went another $100 to buy another ticket on the same plane that I would have been on anyway. But oh well. But I got back and I thought, okay, I'm not going to be able to go back until February. And then the president of the seminary texted me and said, oh, by the way, can you come the next couple, three times in a row? And I said, I've got to sit down with my board and talk about this with my mission. And so I texted Ridge. And they emailed Ridge and emailed Jim Van Voorst. That's my national director and my field director here for the Pacific Northwest. And I said, okay, you know, here's what they want me to do. I really want to do it, but you are my employers. This is my ministry. What do you have to say about it? And I will abide by whatever decision you make. Well, they got together, and then they teleconferenced me. And they said, you have 2 years remaining until you retire. I was going to say survive. Until you retire, we will allow you to go to India twice a year for the next 2 years and won't count it against your vacation time. And so, praise the Lord, I now am ministering in two different locales and just loving it. I'm due to go back in January and teach again, and then I'm due to go in May, and Lord willing, and if her health holds, my wife is going with me. And we are definitely going to go down and meet our family in India. And so, really, here is, this is my passion. My passion is teaching wherever the Lord wants me to go. And so whether it be here at home or someplace else, indeed. So anyway, just praise the Lord for it because he brought it all about, not me. And it just, you have to be there where the Lord wants you to be. So I quit. My students, about one-third of them, speak enough English, and I work through a Hindi translator there. I have two different people that will translate for me. Down in Tamil Nadu, they speak Tamil, and only the young people speak English typically. Angel's parents don't speak a word of English. David's parents do, but some of it is very mangled English. For example, I got home a couple weeks afterwards. Angel texted me, and she said, Grandpa, why America you go back to? And I said, well, sweetheart, and I call everybody sweetheart. I said, it's my home. It's where my wife is. She said, Grandpa, here also your home. So, wow.